Blog Talk Radio.
We are the heirs of that first revolution.
Will a strong and united America still be a force for freedom and prosperity around the world?
America has created the longest peacetime economic expansion in our history.
We are the heirs of that first revolution.
Good common sense and sound judgment of the American people and their essential love of justice.
Hi, welcome to the Kudzu Vine on Mother's Day. Catherine, happy Mother's Day.
I'm not a mother, but thank you anyway. My mother is here, okay. And I will wish her a happy Mother's Day from all of us.
I knew there was a better chance than of you being a mother than Tim and I, so, you know, I just took my odds there. But it is a Mother's Day show, and we do have two mothers on the show. Both Regina Thomas and Donzella James, both running for Congress as challengers, are both going to come on the show on our Mother's Day edition. Other things may happen. We'll review down some political news. I'm low-tech here in our merchies because I have no power, so if people wonder why I don't have facts and figures or information, that's because I'm basically just what I can remember tonight. You doing okay, Tim?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Yes, well, I guess until Senator Thomas comes on, one of the things I guess is just a big piece of news, even though it's election cycle away, is Johnny Isaacson announced early, and I don't know why he felt he had to announce in advance of this November, that he will not seek the governor's post, and he'll will I guess continue on to re-election in 2010 in the U.S. Senate. Tim, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's quite a handful of Georgia politicians that were probably very happy to hear that, David, at the end of the show in the outrage. I'm going to talk about one candidate who probably was not happy to hear that. But I imagine a lot of campaigns and a lot of staff started scrambling in a hurry, wouldn't you?
I think it depends on who, what people want to run for. You have a Lynn Westmoreland, a Casey Cagle, John Oxendine, and John Oxendine went ahead and announced ahead of time. They were all looking at running for the governorship. You had other ones,
yep,
like Jack Kingston and Phil Gingrey, who were looking at running for Senate, supposing that Johnny Isaacson would vacate that seat.
Well, then if Casey Cagle, see, runs for governor, then you got guys looking at the lieutenant governor seat, and it just will be like stepping stones all the way down the line.
Yes, and so I know that is kind of a part of the dynamic that you know, who runs for what, who was looking at what. Catherine, your thoughts on this?
Well, I thought it was, I thought it was a little strange that he made this, like, pronouncement, you know, so early. I'm sure they're all scampering around trying to figure out what to do in the Republican Party. But they have plenty of time to strategize, so I'm sure they'll come up with something.
Yeah,
Can I throw a question to y'all?
Go ahead.
Is there any chance that the state Republican Party asked Senator Isaacson to go ahead and commit one way or the other?
I could easily see that happening. But I was going to say, I'm not much of a card player, but I do think that there is some value in holding your cards until you have to reveal them. And there's just been so many cases. Go ahead,
David,
Tim.
I believe we have Senator Thomas with us.
Senator, welcome. Welcome this evening.
Thank you.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
Yes, well, you're on the phone with myself, Catherine Smith, and Tim Shiflett, and thank you for joining us on the Kudzu Vine. We're wanting to talk to you about your run for Congress and maybe other political work you've done. So you decided to run for Congress down there in Georgia's 12th District. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I've been in the Georgia legislature for 12 years. Serving 4 years, which is two terms, in the House of Representatives in Georgia, and moved on to the Senate, and I have served 8 years in the Georgia State Senate.
Yes, so 20 total, is that correct,
no,
or is it 12 with 4 and 8?
It's 12 total, 4 and 8.
Oh, okay, still a lengthy amount of service.
Absolutely.
Yes, and prior going to the legislature, what was some of your work?
Well, I... I did some income tax for tax preparation for H&R Block. I've worked in city government. I've worked in state government. I work for private industry. And in 1990, since I have four children and they all went to the public schools here in Chatham County, I ran for the school board in 1990. I was not successful in obtaining that seat, but I was still active nonetheless. I'm also active in community issues. I do volunteer tax preparation now. And, I'm just involved in the community. I visit a different church every Sunday. I just enjoy meeting people. I enjoy helping people, and I enjoy when there is positive results for people.
It sounds like you're busy.
Pretty much.
Safe to say. Well, tell us, you're seeking a congressional seat. What are you looking to do in Congress? What prompted the change? Tell us about that.
Well, basically, I've been thinking about this for, I can say, 8 years now. When the 2000 census, and we created in Georgia two new congressional districts because of the census, I thought about the 12th district at that time, but I didn't feel like it was right, and I needed to stay where I was for a little while longer, get some more information, network some, go throughout the district, talking to different people, speaking here and there, and I just wanted to make sure that when I got out there, I was familiar with the issues on the national level, and I am. There are so many issues that are not being addressed, issues that are addressed only during a campaign season. Once that campaign season is over, a bill may be introduced. They may talk about it, but just let it sit in committee or just sit and do nothing about it. There are too many people issues, too many real issues that need to be discussed and need to be on the table, and they're not.
Yes, and so you're talking about the issues not being discussed. So do you think that's more an effect of the national leadership and the other party or a reflection on your opponent?
Well, I haven't heard my opponent talk too much about the real issues that I'm referring to, and I think that on a whole, you know, you may not be in the majority party, but at least you can put the issues out there and you can keep hammering those issues and keep talking about those issues and giving the information to the people so that they can start calling their representatives, their senators, talking about those issues and letting them know that these are real issues. These are the issues that impact my everyday living. And I don't see the connection with the people in the district and the people that we send to Washington. I don't see a direct connection with that. They may keep in touch with a few leadership people that's elected positions here and there, but as far as getting to the real people and talking with them, how can we represent people? How can we say we were sent someplace to represent someone when we haven't really talked with them and to find out what issues are key to them? You know, we need to keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on and what people really want to talk about instead of making up issues.
Yes, well, like I said, we have Catherine and Tim on with us. I want to make sure, Catherine, do you have any questions?
Well, Senator Thomas, I just want to thank you for stepping up and running. I always like to recognize that because I know how much of a challenge it is. Even though you've done it, obviously, many times before, this is a new step, and as a Democrat in Georgia, I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much.
And I'm just wondering, do you have, I agree with you that I think there's a disconnect between Washington and Georgia and probably most states. Do you are there specific issues that you're hearing from in the district that need to be addressed? And what kind of, also secondary to that, do you feel like you're getting a lot of support in the district, and is that working out well for you?
Well, right now things looking pretty good for me. I've been going to some of the other 21 counties because Chatham County is the 22nd county, and I've been going to some of the other counties talking with people and you know, just regular people going to the grocery store or just shopping or what have you, and I would talk with someone, let them know who I am, ask them what issues are of concern to them, asking them what issues are not of concern to them. And one thing keeps driving home, and I have been wondering why we cannot, as a nation, take care of our veterans. I cannot figure out why, as a nation, we do not treat our service, our military personnel, with respect and dignity, and give them the needed resources that they so badly and so desperately need. This war that we are in, we should not be in this war. We need to bring our troops home. And just yesterday, I had several people to talk to me about their loved ones that have come home from the war, that they need counseling, they need therapy. Some have been injured. They need equipment. They're having a hard time getting into the VA to talk with someone to get help. Our government should have already had these things in place before we bring our men and our women home. So people are concerned about the veterans and the people who fight wars. A lot of people have told me that their loved one or relative was supposed to be getting out, but now they're saying that they can't get out and have to stay in that godforsaken country where they are. And that puts so much stress on the family. We have more suicide and more divorce with this war than any other war. So these are issues. These are real issues. Healthcare. My seniors are afraid. They call me all the time because people are calling them, telemarketers are calling them, telling them about Medicare and did they receive their letter and they're going to lose their benefits if they don't sign up with Medicare Part D, whether they need it or not. Our seniors have worked so hard to get to these golden years so that they can finally relax with what little nest egg they had set aside, and now it's all being taken from them, and they don't know whether or not they're going to have access to health care or even their primary doctor that they've had for so many years. These are real issues. Education, No Child Left Behind has been a miserable failure, and instead of the Secretary of Education or the President of these United States to say, well, we know that it hasn't worked. We know that some areas are doing better than others. We need to go back to the drawing board. But instead, they want to exempt 10 states from the mandate, an unfunded mandate, I may add, of No Child Left Behind. The deficit in this country, we are continuing to borrow money from other nations so that we can keep this war going so that some can benefit. But yet and still, we are tearing families apart, and they're supposed to be the party of family values. But we're destroying the American family. Oh, you know, you get me started. I am very impassioned.
No, sister, you're doing great. No, all these things are very important, and I'm glad to hear that they're, you know, that people are thinking about them. You know, we always hear about, you know, what are the things we hear about? Gay marriage, and we hear about you know, abortion, and we hear about homeland security, but, you know, very few of the other side talk about the issues that, you know, what we call the kitchen table issues that really affect our lives. And so it's good to know that people are concerned about those and not these other sort of hot button issues that seem to take up the not that those aren't important issues, but
you know what? They do not have anything to do with whether you're going to keep a roof over your head or food on your table.
Exactly.
Amen.
I have asked women. I have asked men. I'm talking about straight men and straight women. Now, you know, I'm married. I have 4 children and 12 grandchildren. But I have asked point blank. I said, let me ask you this question, and this was as of yesterday, and I asked this question in many places that I go. I said, tell me, are you concerned with gay marriages? The lady said, no. The man says, no, I'm not concerned. Whatever people are going to do, they're going to do it anyway. See, I'm more concerned with why we are outsourcing our jobs to foreign countries, and we're talking about immigration reform when we don't want to do anything about immigration reform, and that is true. We don't. We allowed the immigrants to come in so that the business owners and the land owners could use cheap labor, let them sleep in their barns and their stables and all their grounds so that they can use them. They feed them a little scrap from the table or what have you. They said, no, we are not concerned with same-sex marriages. You know, that's between them and their God. What I want to know is if I'm going to be able to send my children to school and they're going to get a quality education, what I want to know is my child going to be beat on because of his race, because of his religion, because of where he is, because he's poor? These are the things that people are concerned with. They're not concerned with same-sex marriages. They're not concerned with whether a woman decides with her own body, with her own mind, sound mind, that I've been raped, I've been molested, I'm a victim of incest, I'm carrying a child that I don't need to carry because I don't think I can love this child. And then when the child comes in the world, we tell them, well, we can't take care of your child. You were irresponsible.
Yes.
You should have been able to arrange your affairs better than that. Well, they took away money for Planned Parenthood. How in the world can poor people who do not know and have not been taught, how can they know what's out there and what's available when we take it away? And every time there is a cut, they take it from services. They continue to let the rich get richer, and even the middle class is becoming poor.
Yes.
I wish I could vote for you.
Well, let me go ahead and pass it over to Tim and see if Tim has any questions.
Yes, Senator. I'd like to talk a little inside political stuff with you for just a moment, if I could. And I'm sure that you've heard, since you've made your announcement, all too often probably, from a lot of so-called pundits, and they've said that a tough primary fight with Representative Barra only helps the Republicans in November. And I was wondering how you'd like to respond to that.
You know what? That is bull excrement. Let me tell you something. This is not making anything easy for the Republicans. They want people to believe that I'm the weaker of the candidates. But I can tell you, had I been sitting in Congress for 4 years, I would not have been voting with George Bush on those issues that the current congressman has been voting on. And I can tell you another thing. They don't want me in the general election in November because they know that if I am, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it because the people know real people. They know real issues, and I have a solid record to stand on. I don't play games with people, and I don't do a play on words. Oh, I have heard that the Republicans are laughing, and they are really happy that I am in there running against John Barra in the Democratic primary. Well, I would say that if my congressman had been doing his homework and taking care of the people, all of the people in the district, and not just paying attention to a few, select few, then maybe, just maybe, it wouldn't be such a tough election for him. This is his election to lose.
Excellent answer. Thank you. David, are you with us, sir?
David took a break. But, you know, that's okay. No matter who the incumbent is at this time, I was going to put my bid in for Congress anyway because after watching and listening and becoming ill to my stomach on the so-called issues that they have been putting on the front burner, which are non-issues, the S-chip money, to tie the money in for our children of this nation with the war, whether we're going to give these children health care or we're going to get this money for the war and then tie it together, I think that was an abomination and it never, ever should have been done. Congress never, ever should have allowed that to happen. They hold the power.
Yes, Tim.
There you are.
Yes, I'll switch to my landline. Senator Thomas, following up on Tim's question a little bit, I have a scenario for you.
Sure.
Let's say we get to November and the Republicans win the 12th congressional seat. I mean, let's say that, you know, you weren't successful in the primary and John Barra loses the 12th congressional seat and a Republican wins it. I don't even know who's strong on the Republican side of the docket. And then in the state Senate, you're no longer there to serve the people in the state Senate. Will you regret this decision?
I have never, ever regretted any decision that I have made in my entire life. And I'm going to tell you, some of the decisions that I've made that could have been different, it only strengthened me, gave me more experience, and made me stronger and more determined than ever. that I'm going to be there for the people. Now, as far as my Senate seat is concerned, we have three people in that race. One is a seasoned legislator that served in the House for 10 years. As a matter of fact, he has my old House seat. They're going to be fine. The Georgia Senate is going to be fine. I could not stay there forever. And it's time for me to move on so that I can do more for the people. I've been able to help in a lot of areas, but it's time for the people of not just this district, not just this state, but people in the United States to know the truth about what's going on in Congress instead of doing a play on words or trying to defend bad decisions in voting. So, and let me tell you, and you bite your tongue, because John Barrow is not going to win this primary. John Barrow is not going to win this primary. Let me tell you, when I talk to people, I'm real. And people sense that, they see that. I have a love and a passion for people, all people. And it does not matter the color of my skin or the party that I'm in. It matters that we are honest with the people and we let them know what the truth is.
Yes, well, no, I know you're real, and you've got a platform, and you feel strongly, and that's wonderful. I just, you know, you have to throw scenarios out there. Well, you talked a little bit about the state Senate, and I agree with you. I think your district's going to stay in Democratic hands. It's a good Democratic seat. But since you were in the state Senate, and I'm sure you saw recruitment efforts go ahead, I've been told by some insiders that pretty much there's no way, based on the lack of recruiting, that we can overtake the Georgia State Senate. How do you feel about that, that the recruitment in the Senate wasn't what it was in the State House, and we've pretty much, I think, you know, we'd have to win probably every contested seat, no matter how Republican they are, to take back the Senate? Are you a little disappointed?
Well, you know, we only lost the Senate because of party switchers. You know, you have people that will run on a label because of the demographics and because of the makeup of a district, whether they are Republican or Democrat. If they feel that a Republican can win the district, then they're going to run as a Republican and vice versa. Now, when we had the 2000 special session after the 2000 census, and Governor Perdue, the Republican, won this state very handily, we had about 6 to 7 Democrats.
Yes.
From rural areas that I knew deep in my heart were not true Democrats because of their voting record, and they switched parties. That's how the Senate went to the Republicans initially. But they were still able to win election and re-election time and time again because they had a connect with their constituency. So we may not, as Democrats, be able to take the Senate back in this election cycle, but I can tell you we will probably make some headway and decrease those numbers a little bit. And the second district here in Chatham County is a perfect example. When we were drawing the districts in 2000 and went back in 2001 to continue because Justice did not accept the drawings of the districts, they were trying to take away 20% of the black voting age population from this district and give it to another senator in another county, bringing a third senator in. And see, those are the things that you have to watch out for. When the 2010 census come, the same thing could happen. That's why it is so very important for the people, not for Regina, because this is larger than Regina. This is larger than John Barrow. It's not about John Barrow. It's not about Regina. What it is about is the people having representation. And when we have the 2010 census, when the General Assembly, the Republican General Assembly, go back in to redraw those lines, those districts, the Justice Department is going to look to see who's sitting in each congressional district, as well as the other state districts. They're going to look to see who's there. If an African American is there, then that Republican legislature will not be able to dilute that black vote. If a African-American is not there, heaven forbid, then the General Assembly can do whatever they want to because they can keep that incumbent in mind. And if that incumbent is John Barrow or whomever else, then if they dilute the black vote, justice is not going to look at that and say, oh, well, they had 44% or 45% and they didn't do anything with it. So, you know, so be it. And they will bring in more affluent people in the 12th district, which means that 12th district can go Republican anyway. But I can guarantee you that if you have a Regina Thomas sitting in that 12th district seat in 2010, then those numbers can only increase, not decrease. It's bigger than me.
Yes. Speaking of your state Senate seat, have you made any endorsements to fill that seat?
Oh, no, no, no. That is something like political suicide.
Didn't know.
You know, it's, you know, this is like the you have to survive, and the first law of survival is take care of yourself. So I am not endorsing anyone in any race. Now, come November, I will be endorsing all the Democrats, but not before the primary is over. I can't do that. I wish them all well. I know all of them, and I'm staying out of it. I'm taking care of Regina because I have 21 counties that I have to go and introduce myself to so these other people can get to know me so that they can look at my record, go to my Senate website and see the things that I have done, see what I have said, and make a decision on whether or not we're going to try Regina, or we're going to keep what we have. And I've always said, this is democracy at its best. It's giving the people of the 12th district in Georgia a choice, a real choice, and not a lesser of the two evils. This is a real choice.
Yes, of those 21 counties, which counties do you see as the most critical and where you'll do the best and places that you think Congressman Barrow will do the best? Any insight on that?
Well, yes, absolutely. I think all 22 of those counties are equally as important and vital to the outcome of this election. I can't say that one county would give me more or less. I won't know that until after the primary, July the 15th. I cannot say because they're all important. You can take those smaller rural counties and you can add them up together, and those numbers are just as important as Savannah, Chatham County, or Augusta, Richmond, Burke County. You can't say.
Okay. Now, talking about your campaign's been, you know, I guess, going for a few weeks now. Tell us a little about who's on the campaign working with you, what kind of consultant firms you have, any of that.
Well, have you not read that I had $0?
I had not.
Well, let me tell you, you need to have dollars if you want a consulting firm. No, that's really funny because everyone talks about me all the time. Even in my Senate elections and when I ran for the House, I had no money, none. I just worked hard. I cannot match any opponent dollar for dollar, but I can surely outwork them. So I have volunteers, and you can't buy loyalty. I have volunteers that have called me to say, where do you need me? What do you need for me to do? Because I get contributions here and there, and you have to maximize the dollars that you do get. So I'm working with grassroots people. I'm lining up grassroots people in some of the other counties. I get phone calls on a daily basis from people from the other counties. I've had one lady tell me yesterday that a pollster called her asking her about the incumbent, and she said she did not know him, had not heard his name. And this lady votes all the time. Each time I'm in the election, she said, bring me a sign. I want everyone to know who I'm supporting. She said, I don't know this man. I can't say anything about him one way or the other. And that is a sad commentary for someone who has been in a position for 4 years. So I don't have paid consultants. I don't have posters. It's just me and the average citizen. And you know what? You can't beat that combination.
Yeah, so you said you can't buy loyalty. You can buy loyalty. You just have to keep the payments coming all the time.
Well, see, that's extortion. That's blackmail.
Yes.
Let me tell you, if people are into it for the money, they're going to work for you, and they're going to work for your opponent.
Oh, I know what you mean. Those are mercenaries.
Yes, it happens all the time. So, I couldn't keep the payments coming. Even if I had money to pay them one time, I couldn't keep the payments coming. So.
Yes. Well, I guess we thank you for being on the show, but want to leave this with you. If there's any way that people want to help you, how could they do that?
Well, several ways. I am registered on ActBlue, and I'm registered with PayPal. My email address is regina4congress@bellsouth.net. They can contact me through email, Congress@bellsouth.net. Once they email me, I can get all that information to them, let them know I am there for you, not for Regina, and you work with me and you send me to Washington, D.C., I will make sure in the 111th Congress that the issues that's dear and near to people's hearts will be on the table.
Yes. Well, thank you for being on.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be watching your campaign.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Thank you for running.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Okay, David, we are going to go right into our next. Whoop, we lost that caller. Are you with us?
I'm with you.
Is this Senator? Hello. Is this Senator James?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Yes,
yes,
Senator. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are listening.
Yes, yes.
So you're not a mother.
Yes, we had a Mother's Day theme this evening. Yes. We just got off the phone with Senator Thomas, who's running for Congress in the 12th, and now we're coming to you, who is challenging for the 13th district.
That's correct. I worked with her in the Senate. We both served as state senators together. So
yes,
I'm very familiar with Miss Regina, and good luck to her.
Yes, yes. Well, so tell us a little about your background for all the listeners.
Well, I was elected to the state Senate in 1993, and I served to January of 2003. I was undefeated during that time. I passed numerous pieces of legislation, probably more than 279 pieces. I cared about the children. I concentrated on how to protect and serve our community and improve the quality of life for all the citizens in my district and all over Georgia. So I feel that many of the pieces of legislation helped to change the face of Georgia and made it better. And that's what my background is. I'm a native Atlantan, married to Elmo James for 39 years. And
oh, my goodness.
We had two sons, and this is a happy Mother's Day because I have two grandchildren now, and one of my sons passed away the year that I was elected to the Senate. I was a grieving mother when I started out, and he was killed by a drunk driver, and that changed my life and also the direction of the legislation that, you know, I was looking at passing previously, but I continue to work for the people in that area. I changed the driving laws in Georgia in his memory, changed the graduated driver's licenses, looked at habitual drunk drivers because the man that killed my son had a commercial driver's license and he had had five previous DUIs, and I couldn't believe that he was still being able to drive on Georgia roads with a permit. And that does not happen anymore. Couldn't bring Harry back, but I wanted to make sure that I saved as many lives as possible in his memory.
Yes, that's certainly true. Is when someone does tragically pass away, that there's something changed for the future, for future people.
That's true. That's
yes.
True. He was my second born, and he's still with me, and I feel his spirit on this Mother's Day, and so that's why I don't feel sad. I feel happy.
Yes. Well, so you're running for Congress. Tell us a little about, you know, what prompted you to make this campaign run.
Well, I left the state Senate by retiring to run for Congress, and I was unable to win my first try, and so I'm offering myself to serve once again. And we were able to get a good amount of votes each time with no money, the same problem that Ms. Thomas, Senator Thomas, has just described. But we had the people and the masses, and we were doing the grassroots campaigning and knocking on doors and sharing our platform, and it was a very strong campaign, but we were unable to win. So for the past 2 years, I've been working to close the gap, so that because I look at it as the same campaign, just a continuation until we win this time.
Yes, well, we have some more folks on the phone line with us, Catherine Smith and Tim Shiflett. Catherine, do you have any questions for Senator James?
Hi, Donzella. How are you doing? It's nice to hear from you. Congratulations
you.
On
Hello.
Running. We're always
thank
proud when
much.
Democrats step forward and run. I'm always happy to hear about it.
Thank you very much.
What are you hearing in your district as far as the issues that are important to the voters, and how is it going, basically?
Well, you know, many of the people in the district are unhappy with the current congressperson. They feel that he has not served us well, and they are ready for a change, and they're looking at the change in the White House, either Hillary or Obama, either one, according to the people that I'm talking to, they'll be happy. And so we know that we need a new congressperson from the 13th as well, because the votes from the current person that's in Congress don't reflect what the platforms of either one of the presidential candidates. So they're saying, what am I going to do if I get there? What would I do differently? And so I've been able to share my views on stopping the war and bringing our troops home, and the problems with foreclosures and the high gasoline prices, and why I think they're so high, and what we can do as a congressperson to try to fight to bring the gasoline prices down or stabilize them. So that's what I'm hearing in the community. People want to go back to work, and they feel that our jobs are being sent overseas, and of course they are. And we want to put people back to work. People are being laid off in record numbers on the jobs that are still here. In our district, we had two military bases that are in the process of closing, Fort Gillem and Fort Mac. And that's a travesty for many of the people that live in my community, because they have worked there for so many years. So now they'll be out of work. Many of them are not retirement age, so they're wondering what's next.
Yes, and also Tim Shiflett's with us. Tim, any questions for Senator James?
Yes, Senator. I noticed on your website you talked at length about the failures of the No Child Left Behind Act. In your opinion, should that be repealed? And if so, what would you want to see it replaced with?
Well, Mr. Shipp, let me tell you, I definitely think it should be repealed. As a state senator, I was able to introduce legislation for smaller classroom sizes, for anti-dropout programs, for the SAT, if that's going to determine whether you go to college or what college you get into, then you need to have SAT as a part of the curriculum, so that you can study what you have to end up being tested on. So I did pass a bill that would put SAT prep courses in high schools. And the list goes on things that I was able to do, but they are not done nationwide. And when you look at the Leave No Child Behind Act, you look at the schools, and the schools have been tested and evaluated. You look at the teachers, they've been tested. The students have been tested and retested, and now they're testing the tests, and the quality of education has still not improved. The funding has not gone into Leave No Child Behind Act properly. They funded one portion and not another, and even if it was a wonderful concept on paper, it's not working. So what are we going to do? Allow our children to continue to fail or not get a good education? I say no. So it's too much testing and not enough teaching with the Leave No Child Behind Act. So I say let's get rid of it. Let's go back to the table, and let's put quality education back into our school systems all over this nation.
Oh, you go, girl.
Yeah.
David.
Thank you. That was a mouthful, wasn't it? I'm sorry. Get emotional about messing with my children, you know. We have to protect them.
Yes. Well, looking at the 13th District, there's a lot of counties along the south side of Metro Atlanta. And yeah. I guess the largest complete county in the district population-wise is Clayton. And looking at the Clayton County's been in the news for a lot of negative reasons recently, not just schools but also sheriff's office, DA's office.
Yes. Yes.
What are some ways that you believe Congress or the congressperson from the 13th District can improve that situation?
Well, first of all, the people who are elected now need to come together and solve this together, because I hear county commissioners saying, it's not my problem, I'm elected to the county commission. I hear our congressperson saying, that's not in my jurisdiction. I hear everybody passing the blame around, but it's plenty of blame to go around, so everybody needs to sit down at the table and work this out and work together. And definitely we need a new school system. I was talking about the Leaving No Child Behind Act, testing everybody. Perhaps they should have tested the school board members, because they're the ones who are working so hard. You know, they have made a big mess of the whole educational structure, and they're the laughingstock of the state of Georgia. Children don't deserve that. Of the country. You know, the children don't deserve that. I have gone around to those schools, and I see the children. I listen to the children, too, because there's some brilliant young minds over in that Clayton County school system. And those kids are working hard to achieve, to go to college. And they might lose their accreditation. That is not fair. So we have to stop and take control of that whole system. There are 34 people who have offered themselves to serve as the new school board members. And I think three of the old school board members have put their names in there to run again. I know one thing, they should fall on their swords and move out of the way and let somebody else do it, because we have to save their accreditation. Now, as far as crime is concerned, a lot of that has to do with Atlanta closing many housing projects and things. Now the new lofts have gone up in the city of Atlanta, and those people who were displaced had to go to Section 8. And many of the houses in Clayton County, you know, that was a area where a lot of seniors were living. And so many of them are either going in senior citizen high-rises, or they're passing away, and their children are using the houses for rental property, and they use Section 8 because in this time and day, we are at an almost recession, there are so many people who are landlords, and they want to make sure that they get their rent, so they're taking the Section 8 people. To make a long story short, These persons now are coming there, and many of the gang members are coming there. Many of the Katrina victims have gone there, and we need to reach out to them, educate them, protect those children, put them in the right kind of schools, because right now it's a big gang problem, and it's a huge crime problem. And then the sheriff and the police department and the commissioners all fighting each other. So they need to come together and get the peace pipe or whatever, the olive branch or whatever, and realize that they need a leadership roundtable and do their job and protect the people, including, you know, the district attorney's office needs to sit at that table, and the solicitor as well.
Yes. Another question I had is, I've looked at some fundraising numbers for the 13th District, and shockingly, the incumbent is not the leading fundraiser in that district. It's the Republican challenger in an overwhelmingly Democratic seat. Why do you think Deborah Honeycutt has been so successful at fundraising in such a bleak district for a Republican?
But to tell you the truth, I'm the only opponent that the incumbent has on the Democratic side.
Yes.
And I have not used the negative tactics. I've only run for the seat and not against him. But she is running against him. She's putting out his bad, poor record and all the problems he's had over the past few years and his voting record on the war and just so many negative things. So she's able to get the support from the people in Washington because if you look at where her money came from, it basically came from outside of Georgia. And that's my opinion of what has happened when I look at it and try to review why she's getting the money and this Democrat is not, who has a proven record, who's been strong out there, been fighting for the people for years. So we are reaching out because if she can raise money and Scott can raise money, then we need to raise the money too because it is time for a change and people see that. But maybe the tactics of the Republicans would be to drag him over the coals, you know, with all of his problems. I don't know, but that's what it appears to be.
Well, you mentioned the war and that she's using that against him. Now, the traditional Democrat to Republican using the war would be that she would be pro-war and he would have been against the war. But given how unpopular the war is, that doesn't make a lot of logical sense. So go ahead and confirm, for me at least, what's the situation with the war, Representative Scott, and how Honeycutt's using that?
Well, I'm only going by what I've heard that she's doing because I have not seen her on the campaign trail, and I've not heard her say it verbally, but she's going against his whole record, and that's part of his record. That's something that he voted straight down the line, especially his first 4 years with our former governor, Zell Miller.
Yeah, so he would have been in favor of the war.
He was in favor of the war. He voted 80% with the Republican Party, and then he continued to get reelected to that seat. So, you know, we have. I'm against the war. I can tell you that, and I'm for the war to end. I'm tired of the body bags coming back and the numbers continuing to rise on those who are injured, many who are dismembered. I'm tired of hearing about people who have been to Iraq 2, 3, 4 times, and they're coming back with no visible injuries, but they need to see a psychiatrist, and it takes them sometime 3 and 4 months to see one. I'm getting calls from many of them who say that they feel suicidal, or they all of a sudden started beating their children and they've never been that type of person. So they are going through some emotional and mental changes and challenges, and they need the help, but they feel that they're going through another war when they come back home in order to get some help, in order to get the veteran benefits that they so deserve after putting their life on the line for us. So, you know, I love our troops. I was on the VA committee of the state Senate for 10 years, and I served well on that committee, and I had a chance to go around to almost every Air Force, Naval base, Army base, and interact with those who were actively serving as well as veterans. So I have and then, of course, my husband is a veteran, so many relatives, you know, are veterans, and they aren't getting their veteran benefits. So I'm tired of the war. I can tell you how I feel about it and where I stand with it. She would have to tell you how she feels about it.
Yes, it just sounds like an interesting dynamic, and that was good that you told us how you feel about it so the voters will know that. Well, I thank you for coming on with us tonight, and it's been an informative interview, but what we always like to let you do is leave us with how people can help your campaign should they like what they hear and want to help you.
Oh, they can look at my website at Donzella James, the number 4, congress.com. That's DonzellaJames, the number 4, congress.com. And they can go on it and they can contact us. We'd be happy to hear from them. I hope that we will hear from people because I want to help to change what's going on in Congress right now. I want to be able to vote for our new president's agenda because my side of the issues mirror Obama's, And I am a delegate for Obama. And I'm looking forward to your people who are listening to give us a call at 404-625-8855. Or also they can email me at Dzella, D-Z-E-L-L-A, at BellSouth.net. Or they can go to ActBlue and they can donate to us, because I'm on ActBlue as to donate. And one other thing, they can go to WhiteHouse97@Hotmail.com and email us as well.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of different ways they can get with you, but the website obviously is a key one. That probably has a lot of that other information linked.
Yes, and we're continuing to build on that website now and to add things, and hopefully they can contact me and call one of those numbers or go on to ActBlue and donate, because we do need donations. I just got a $5 donation from a young lady who had called me and said that she was homeless, and she's a veteran, and she served in the Persian Gulf War, and she was living under a bridge in Riverdale in her car, and I stopped. I know I'm not in office now, but I had to make calls and try to get some help for her. And as a result, less than 2 weeks later, I know she didn't have any money, but it meant so much to me to know that she would send me $5, and so I'm very proud of any donation, but especially one from a person who could not even afford it, but she wanted to say thank you for the little thing that I could do to help her.
Yes, well, thank you for coming on, and obviously on that website you can feel free to add this interview as a link. So
Thank you, I will. Wonderful. And
you
keep up the good work. I enjoyed being on your program. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, bye, everyone.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, well, we had two solid interviews for congressional candidates, and time's rapidly closing in on us. But I did want to talk about the poll that happened for the U.S. Senate and the presidential races this week. This is Rasmussen. This is another in the series they do polling for, I believe, Channel 5 News. And I think some other sources, I guess, help pay for that poll, although it kind of gives fodder more for the blogs than it does the actual TV station. But once again, that poll showed that Del Cardwell's ahead against all the other Democratic challengers, and he's actually closed the gap a little bit on Saxby Chambliss. Saxby Chambliss is down to 51% when matched up against Del Cardwell. If another poll, we might actually get Saxby under 50. Tim or Catherine, any thoughts on that poll?
Go ahead, Tim.
No, I just wanted to eat a little crow. I didn't believe I'd be saying this at this point, but I got to say it now, David. Anybody who does not include Dale Cardwell in the top tier of candidates for that seat is mistaken. He is now a genuine top tier candidate.
Catherine, your thoughts?
Well, I hadn't seen those polls. I've been busy with my mother all week, so I'm shocked. But, you know, I agree with Tim, you know, and I guess we have to take him seriously now. He just better not go back up on that poll.
Yeah, I think sometimes you can do a stunt once, but you can't do it again and again. So I think that was the one time on that, you know. But, Tim, you may have them in front of you, but what are the breakdowns between Chambliss, Cardwell, Chambliss, Jones, Chambliss, Martin, and that is the order in which they fall head-to-head?
Yeah, I don't have them in front of me,
okay.
David. I'm going to try to do them from memory, but I believe Cardwell was running 14 points behind 51-37. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Jones was running about 20 points behind, and Martin was running like 24 points behind. I'm a little surprised he's not getting any traction in this race.
Well, I mean, frankly, he's going backwards, I'm quite shocked that he's going backwards. I would have never thought that would have happened. I would have thought he would have gotten in the race, and he would have slowly, you know, moved upward, not gone backwards. I don't know, and I know the strategy seems to be stay in a room, don't meet any voters. I mean, because he's missed a lot of forms. He missed the UGA form recently, which he's an alumni. I mean, I just was very surprised by that one. And that's a, I mean, it's not going around meeting people as much as it is just staying in there, raising lots of money, running one of those old style, well, not old, old style, but one of those, you know, political consultant heavy, do everything they say, don't make any mistakes, don't have an original thought, follow the playbook, raise all that cash, and then spend it all on TV. And it may be that he does that and the TV comes in and it changes everything around, but then a lot of the folks in the new media like us and the blogs, I think we all like to see people run a little more.
Well, and you touched on a good point, David. You see, Cardwell, like, was up in our county last weekend at our J.J. dinner. Vernon Jones and Rand Knight are running all over the state to these meetings. They're running real populist-type campaigns, and those campaigns seem to be catching on, and Martin's just isn't.
Yes,
well,
and
Martin was in Macon at the Young Democrats Convention 2 weeks ago, as well as Vernon Jones. So he is showing up at some things. And I'm just not clear as to why, like you said, why he's not, you know, out there a little bit more.
Yes, and I will say this also. You speaking of Rand Knight, I think since there's five candidates, I think with all the endorsements Rand Knight's gotten with Denise Majette and the unions, I think Rand Knight ought to be polled. And then if you poll him and you only have one other candidate, Josh Lanier, you should poll him too. So I would like to see all five polled. I'd also like to see, when they do Democrats only, which obviously they do because they poll the presidential, I'd like to just see them throw all five candidates in there and do a head-to-head poll and see how what that comes out like. Although if you look at the crosstabs, and I've been able to see them, it's pretty much across the board. Cardwell does better across the board. Jones and Martin change up a little bit because of some racial demographics, but that's kind of constant. And then also the presidential race, I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I know that it showed that, you know, McCain, it's his race to lose in this state. Who was running better, Clinton or Obama, head-to-head with McCain? Do you remember, Tim?
I do not.
The last time I saw it was Clinton.
This Rasmussen poll just came out Friday morning. So it was the most recent poll we've gotten.
Well, I've got it up here. Just one second.
Yes, and so, but either way, there's still work. I mean, basically, we need to catch up in both races. We need to catch up against Chambliss. We need to catch up at the presidential level. But those were, I guess, the Isaacson decision and the poll were the two big news items of the week, but it just keeps on every week. There's new things to happen. I know coming up this week, just looking forward while Catherine gets that poll number, Travis Childers' special election in Mississippi. I'm just so excited, anxious about that being a positive result for us because they're campaigning so hard, and the message that'll send winning that another southern seat that was held by a Republican, turn it back to a Democrat, will be huge. And also the House district for 93 to fill Ron Saylor's seat will be great to have, because I know the people, even the person won't serve, any of the candidates will be a step forward or a step up from Ron Saylor. And I know they've got at least three that I've heard of. I think they have more, but I know Malik Douglas, D. Hagler, and Colette O. from are all running for that seat.
And the AJC endorsed Dee Hagler the other day.
Yes, different groups have been. I know the police unions have endorsed Malik. I'm sure Colette has some endorsements.
I've got the numbers. These are for today, actually, May 11th. McCain against Clinton, McCain 43, Clinton 48. McCain against Obama, McCain 46, Obama 47.
That's not Georgia, though. Right.
Oh, you're just talking about Georgia. I'm
Georgia,
sorry.
Yes, like Rasmussen poll. I'm like, if
I'm
those
sorry.
Are the numbers, yeah, let's just start winning everything.
No, I'm
but
sorry.
No, McCain, just the Georgia numbers. Rasmussen had a poll come out, but that's okay. People can find these polls around the internet. RasmussenReports.com. I know that John linked the Senate poll. I think Peach Pundit linked the Senate poll. A lot of places that thing's linked. But it's been another great show, and I guess, once again, these long congressional interviews, the outrage of the week. Tim, if you'll send it to us, we'll post it on Blog for Democracy, and people can read it. And I know people like to respond to that because I know we've got about a minute to go on the show. But I guess next week we'll have the two results from the special elections and more news and guests are booking through. So we'll have all that for us next week.
Sounds good.
Talk to y'all next week.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Happy Mother's Day.